And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. You notice it doesn't say distributing to the ministers or to people who've been ordained or just to the men or just to people who go to a certain church. It says to each one individually as he, the Holy Spirit, wills. And this morning, this is the last of the gifts that we're talking about. It says gifts of healings. Notice it's multiple that's involved there because healings can be manifest in many different ways. And so this is the final study in our series, and a very important one, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are supernatural. And so when we're talking about the gifts of healings, we're talking supernatural gifts, not the gifts that are given unto men to be good surgeons or good doctors or good GPs. Thank God for them. We appreciate them and all that they do. But there is the gifts of healings, which are supernatural, but don't come because you've learned how to perform medicine in some way. You've learned how to deal with people's minds or bodies or anything. It's because the Holy Spirit is working through you. And I want to say to you this morning, you're an absolute candidate for that. A definition. These gifts are for the supernatural healing of diseases and infirmities without natural means of any sort. A man named Harold Horton wrote that. So we live in a post-Christian world. But if ever there was a need for the power of Christianity to be evident in the world, it's now. The evil that's manifest in our world, the things that are happening, the people are being destroyed, people are suffering, darkness abounds. There's only, if we took the real Christians in the world, and I can't put a number on that, but they say there's 1.2 billion Christians, but what if there was only 1.2 billion? So that's, what, about a seventh of the world? 14%? That's a small number of our world that are actual Christians. And so you and I have got our work cut out and we need to be active because the world needs Jesus. It needs what Christianity can bring to bring life and hope to people. So the gift of healings or the gifts of healings have the greatest impact of all the gifts in demonstrating the love and power of God. Because we hear testimonies, online testimonies, of how people who are Muslims, dedicated Muslims, who in desperation have turned to a Christian friend and said, look, my daughter's sick, my wife's sick, my husband's sick, whatever it might be. And I know you people pray for the sick and we don't see it in our religion, but can you pray? And then God intervenes and a miracle occurs and Muslims become Christians and are converted. Happened to a man named Naaman the Syrian, who was not a child of Israel, but came to Israel because he needed healing. And he came to the great prophet, and he was healed. It's a long story, but he was healed. And he said to the prophet, when I go back to my country, the king will lean, he was a general, the king will lean on my arm while he worships his God. Will God forgive me for that? But I want to take a load of dirt back to my nation so that I can pray unto the real God. You see, the impact happens. Is healing God's will? I absolutely believe it is, that God intends to heal. And you might say, well, what about people who don't get healed? Look, I can't explain that. I've got to trust God. My word says that he intends to heal people and it's his will for people to be healed. And you might say, what about Johnny Erickson? This young woman in her teenage years dived into a pool, became a quadriplegic from there. And to this day, is still a quadriplegic, never healed by God, no doubt prayed for by many. Well, I can't explain that. I have to trust God, but I do say this. She has brought far more glory to God in that wheelchair than she ever would if she'd been healed. And so, and she's a great inspiration. If you don't know who Johnny Erickson is, go online and find out. She is an awesome, awesome woman. Her whole spirit is just so alive unto God. And so, I can't say, why doesn't God heal everybody? I prayed for lots of people to be healed. Some have. Many haven't. Can I explain that? No. Is my faith lacking? Perhaps. Was their faith lacking? I don't want to put the blame on them. I'm just trusting God in walking through in all of these things that God is doing what God is doing. And sometimes, of course, people, the healing doesn't come instantly and therefore they think they haven't been healed. I'll address that in a moment. But let me just say this. When we're talking about if we want to be healed, there's some things that are absolutely important. Forgiveness is mandatory. You can't escape forgiveness if you want to be healed, because unforgiveness allows, it stops God working in our lives the way he wants to work. And when we hold unforgiveness in our heart, we actually affect not only our soul, but our spirit. But we need to allow God to work in us, and we forgive, and God brings the blessing. In fact, unforgiveness, I believe, brings a curse upon our lives, and therefore we can't receive the healing. I've told the story of Canon Jim Glennon, who in Sydney, in the big Anglican church there, used to have healing meetings during midweek, and thousands would turn up. And he was wondering why some people weren't healed. And God revealed to him, he said, because they don't forgive. And he said, usually from the point of unforgiveness to the point of sickness is about 2 years. And he said, if you'll forgive, you'll be healed. And so he would challenge people. He'd go to pray for them. He'd say, is there any unforgiveness in your heart? And if there was, they had to deal with it, and he'd pray for them, they'd get healed. And so I'm just encouraging in that, because I know all of us want to walk in healing in life and the blessing of God as it is. It was said of the early Christians, they turned the world upside down. How did they do that? They did it through preaching, and they did it through demonstrating the gospel, which is the good news and the love of God, but they did it by demonstrating through healings. They brought powerful healings to people's lives. And let me just give you a thought here. Why are healings so powerful in the lives of people? Because of all the gifts of the Spirit, this one is probably the most subjective gift. What do I mean by that? Well, you could get a word from God in prophecy, you could get a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and that will have an effect on your life. But if you are healed by God, nobody is objective about getting healed. Nobody stands out inside themselves and says, oh, that was interesting, I got healed. They get excited, I'm healed, particularly if it's a bad disease. And they rise up from that. So that's why healings are so powerful. And when you come into somebody's life and you bring a healing power of God, things change. People can deny the reality of Christianity. They can say that Christians are hypocrites. They can say a lot of things about Christians. But when a Christian prays for them and they're healed, it's sort of the end of the argument. What can you say? I'm healed. I've been set free. How can I make accusation about people or about God when I've been healed by the power of God? And you say, well, can the devil heal? No, I don't believe he can. He is a corrupter. He is not a creator. So he's the one that brings sickness. All sickness, as far as I'm concerned, originates because of Satan, not because of the angels, well, the fallen angels, certainly. And so when people say, oh, Satan can heal, no, I believe what happens there, that people are bound by spiritual forces and disease or sickness or affliction is upon them, and then somebody in a satanic realm is praying for them to be healed, the demons lift off, the person seems healed. Now, don't get too hung up on that. We just trust God in all these things. But we need to realise there is a power of darkness that works against people. So people came by their thousands to see Jesus because of the healings he performed. Blind eyes open, the deaf heard, the dumb spoke, the lepers were healed. Understand something about leprosy. It's a walking death. If you had leprosy, you couldn't go near people. You had to walk along the street crying out, unclean, unclean. And so people would avoid you, or you had to avoid them. And as you're saying unclean, unclean, you're saying, you're confirming the sickness that's within your body that's ravaging you. It's a terrible disease. But Jesus healed lepers and he set them free. And to be a healed leper would be an amazing thing, from where you were to where you could be and the life that you now had. The apostles had huge impact by healings, and you can read in the book of Acts as they went forth and they did mighty things. But Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And it said there, I remember last time I was talking about miracles, how a serpent bit him and he shook it off in the fire. Everybody expected him to die. He didn't. They thought he was a god. But it says that he went to the house of Publius, who was a leading citizen of Malta. And his dad was sick with a fever and dysentery. And Paul laid hands on him and he was healed. And then the scripture goes on to say, people came from all over the island to be affected, to be healed, to be touched by God. And that was the planting of the gospel in Malta. Am I right on that, Manny? I better get that straight. Is that true? Paul planted the gospel in Malta? Yeah. Fantastic. And if you want to know more, talk to Manny. He's the living historian when you're talking about what's happened in Malta. So there's the power of God manifest, and the Maltese today, of course, are Christians and going on with God. So let me talk about the difference between a miracle and healing, just to give you an idea. And probably an example might be the easiest way to do this. There were two brothers called the Jeffries brothers. I just can't think of their first names, doesn't matter. And this is about in the early part of last century. There was a revival that happened in Wales. They called it the Welsh Revival. These two men came out of that revival. And one of the brothers was doing a work in a town. He set up a tent, which is what they did in those days, set up big tents, put the chairs in, I guess set up the sound, everything like that, and invited people to come. And so on the first night of his crusade, there was 11 people there, and he was one of them. And he was disgusted. He thought, I've come all this way, paid all this money to set this up, to reach out to these people, and no one turns up. And so he said, Lord, I might as well just pack up. And the Lord said, you preach. So he did, begrudgingly, preached about healing. And at the end, a man walked up to the front, and this Jeffrey's brother just wouldn't even go and pray for him. He was so angry that this had happened, and he was cranky with God. And so he didn't pray for the guy. He just walked off the stage and said, God, give him what he wants, and walked off. The next night, he's going up to where the tent was, and there's people streaming up the road. And he said to them, hey, what's happened? Is a circus in town? They said, no, there's a crusade in town and we're going. And he thought, is there another crusade in town or is this my crusade? So he said, well, you know, why are people coming now? I was open last night, why didn't they come? They said, oh, you don't know the story. And they said there was a man there who came out for healing, and Jeffries remembered the man who came to the front, and he just walked off and said, God, give him what he wants. And he said, oh yeah, well, what happened? They said, he now can talk. And Jeffrey said, oh, well, that's good to hear. Was he dumb before? I said, no, he didn't have a tongue in his mouth. He was born without a tongue. And God gave him a creative miracle. See, that's a miracle, that's not a healing. But if somebody's blind and they're healed, that's a healing. Because the eyes are, if they've got no eyes and the eyes go into their head and they see, that's a miracle. But if the eyes are already there and they're blind and they're healed, that's a healing. You understand? Who cares whether it's a miracle or a healing? People get blessed by that. And that's why I'm going to say to you later on, don't get focused on which gift should I use. Don't get worried about which tool out of the mechanics box do I have to take. Just trust the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you in the way. So, also Abraham and Sarah, God promised them a child. And of course, they took their own counsel on the matter and they had a child called Ishmael, who wasn't Sarah's child, it was her handmaid's child, because they went ahead of God. But God said, no, I'm intending for you two to have a child. And Sarah's in the tent, she's laughing to herself and saying, hey, we don't even share the same bed anymore. How's this going to happen? Because I'm too old. And of course, God brought a miracle into their lives. Now, he didn't just put a baby inside Sarah's womb. They had to go through the normal process of how you have to have children. And so he spoke to them and a miracle came. It wasn't just a healing in her body. It was a miracle of God because she was past childbearing age. God had to do what he did. But as I say, who cares what's a miracle or a healing? When you get it, thank God. It's wonderful. So I've said God's will is to heal, and I want you never to doubt that. And you know the difference between divine healing and medical intervention. I don't know whether you've been following the story of Dr. Charlie Teo. He is a brain surgeon. He has operated on many people with tumours. The man who was led me to the Lord and was my pastor, David Cartledge, developed a brain tumour in early 2005 and was very fortunate to be able to be operated on by Charlie Teo, who removed the tumour where other surgeons wouldn't touch it. And it extended David's life. Sadly, he developed a second tumour which wasn't operable, and he died from that in the same year, later in the year. But I'm trying to make the point that Charlie Teo would step where other surgeons didn't go. And so, unfortunately, and I can't make any judgment on this, but the other doctors, the medical group, decided that he stepped over the line, that he was going too far in what he was doing, and some patients did die. And they said, right, we're taking away your power to do this, your authority to do this. And people in Australia have exploded because so many have been helped by this man. Charlie Teo said, I'm going to move to China and that's where I'll do the operations. And people are saying, this is such a loss to Australia, such a brilliant man. And so they planned a Sydney Harbour Bridge walk in support of Dr. Charlie Teo. And he deserves support. I think he's done amazing things. Look, I can't judge from the medical profession how that works, but I just think there's so many people who have given testimony said, I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for him. I've had another 15 years of life after the doctors condemned me to death because of him, because of the surgery he did. Do you know, and that's just to point out, that's medical intervention and the brilliance of a surgeon. But on the other side is the gift of healing that comes from God, not from man. And so that we can't confuse the two and say, oh, it was because Charlie Teo had such a miracle gift from God. Well, he has a great gift from God, I know that, but it's not the gift of healing that we're talking about here. The gift of healings may involve deliverance from a demon. Do you know, there is no gift of the Holy Spirit called deliverance. In my mind, there is no such thing as the ministry of deliverance, because I think that it's part of the flow of healing that God intends for people. And if you want to check out the scripture, go and read the New Testament. But many times Jesus brought the healing to the person by delivering from a demon. So there was a lady who was bound there. She was, you know, like hunched over. It came to Jesus and he set her free. And the people complained because it was on the Sabbath day that he'd done that. And he said, hey, you unloose your oxen to go and have a drink of water on the Sabbath day. This is a child of God who's been bound by Satan. See, there's the deliverance from a demon. Bound by Satan for 18 years. She was set free. There were times where there was a child who was deaf and dumb, had a deaf and dumb spirit, throw himself in the fire. Jesus didn't say, be healed. He said, come out of him, you deaf and dumb spirit. See, he was healed, but it was a deliverance. And so I'm not trying to confuse you here, but I'm just saying, don't latch on and say, this is a ministry of this, a ministry of healing, a ministry of something else. It's all God. And as we walk with the Holy Spirit and we hear the direction through the Spirit in our lives, God can take us into the realms of whatever it is. And if it's deliverance, it's deliverance. Trouble is, we in our Western mindset, we rationalize things away. And I think one of the greatest impacts of deliverance is in the realm of mental problems that people have. Don't we live in a world? Look, it's not about COVID or flu that we should be worried. It's about the mental impacts that happen on people's lives. Now, I'm not trying to generalize and say every mental issue, because I know that there are things that happen in the mind, the way the mind operates, that might affect people. So I'm not putting down those things, and I don't want people to think, hey, if you've got Asperger's, you're bound by demon. I don't mean that at all. But I think that the works of the power of darkness are attacking people's minds. And they are under that. And because we think, oh, well, send them to psychiatrists, he gives them pills, and that helps. But I believe that we need to be discerning in the Holy Ghost to know what's of God and how to intervene when it's there, instead of reasoning in our mind and saying, let's take them to the doctor, let's take them to the psychiatrist, that we know from God when it's not just natural, it's something that's demonic, and we can pray. If I frightened you this morning, listen, guys, if I could get a few demons on stage here this morning, come up here, Ben. No, don't come. He would do that to me. If I could get a few demons on stage here this morning, it'd frighten the life out of you. Horrible creatures, absolutely intent with hatred towards you. Now, we don't have to fear. They can't attack our spirit, but they can attack our soul, the place of our mind, our emotions, our will. And they can get in there and create an influence. They can make you think you're sick when you're not sick. They call that psychosomatic. And so that's why we need, and they can attack our bodies, but they can't touch our spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives within us. That's why we need to live out of our spirit, not out of our mind. See, the mind is where we do the logistics, is where we think, is where we rationalize. And we've got to be careful, because if we live out of our mind, we leave ourselves open to where the enemy can come and create strongholds in our minds. And so we've got to live out of our spirit in connection with God's spirit. When we're worshiping here this morning, that was great, wonderful, a little bit different to perhaps every Sunday, but that's fine. But I could feel the Spirit of God. I hope you could too. And I don't feel it in my head. I feel it in my heart, if you like. This is where I feel the Spirit of God touching me and where I believe my spirit is. But that doesn't matter where it is. It's just that we feel it there when we're in the presence of God. We need the Spirit. We need to be in touch with the Holy Spirit. We need to hear what He's saying. We need to walk with Him so that we live according to His direction in our lives, because He wants to use you, because you're going to meet people I will never meet, or she will never meet, or he will never meet. And you can pray into their lives and help them with a ministry of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but particularly in the realms of healing. So I just encourage you, rise up. Don't be concerned. Don't let the Western mindset that rationalizes things away, that overthinks things, that brings us into a place where we really are, I guess, aligning with things that are not godly. And then there are generational curses. These come down the bloodline. And I'm not going to dwell on that this morning, but there are things that come down family lines, and we think, oh, it's just because it's the DNA, or it's the genes I inherited. That's why I have a problem with heart disease, perhaps. But that may not be true, because there can be curses on families that come down through the line. And may I just talk for a moment about curses upon people. I read this morning in today's paper of Warren Mundine. I don't know how many of you people know who Warren Mundine is, but to me, he's a fine man. He's an Indigenous background. He represents and speaks for the Indigenous people. He's got a great heart in that there. He's been involved in politics. And together with Jacinta Price, they are speaking out on issues relating to The Voice. And they are the no vote. They're supporting the no vote. And of course, they are receiving a huge amount of hate mail through social media. But Warren Mundine, twice in the recent past, has tried to commit suicide because of the hate mail he's received through social media. And I'm going to make this comment this morning, and it's just a thought I thought the Holy Spirit gave me. But you know, when people go onto social media and post things that are just attacking people unreasonably, do you know what's happening? They're making a judgment and they're delivering a curse, because judgment always releases the curse. See, Jesus, the Bible says, because he hung on the tree, he took the curse for us. What curse? The curse of God's judgment upon us. And so when people who they call them keyboard warriors jump on there and just say whatever towards people, I believe many times that's a curse coming into those people's lives. And I believe that's what's happened to Warren Mundine. I'm going to pray for that man, as I will for Jacinta Price, because I think they bring a voice of reason into the whole equation. Things become so emotional. And what I just dislike so much is when people express and spew their hatred through social media against people and make judgments against them that is unreasonable when they don't know the whole truth, they don't understand the whole truth, they're just rising up and they come out there and a curse goes forth. And we need to be, of course, careful we don't get caught up with that ourselves, that we don't allow our hearts to get so... I mean, there's some things the government does that I do get upset about. There's some things other drivers do that I get very upset about. But you know what? Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. And I want to say to you this morning, we are not called to judge, we're called to love. And when we're talking about the LGB situation, we're called to love. That's why this church welcomes anybody. I don't care what their sexual orientation is. I don't care what they think they are, a man or a woman, and they want to change sex. I don't care. We will love them because that's what God's called us to do, not to judge them. You see how dangerous judgment is. That's why the Bible says, don't judge lest you be judged. And so I just say that to you this morning because those things, the curse, can bring sickness on people. Can bring a mental affliction upon people, can bring a physical affliction upon people. And so we need to be discerning. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance in all of this so we know the ways of God. So sometimes healings and miracles work together. Jesus raised three people from the dead. Remember, there was Lazarus, probably the most famous one, Jairus' daughter, and the widow of Nain's son. Now, the key issue with all of those three people is that they didn't die of just old age. They died because they were sick. In fact, it said of Lazarus, they said to Jesus, come, your friend Lazarus is sick, you know, come and heal him. And Jesus delayed. He didn't go, and they couldn't understand. His disciples couldn't understand why he did that. But then he went, and he came to where Lazarus was buried. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And his sister said, oh Lord, he's going to stink. He's been dead 4 days. I mean, aren't women always practical, guys, when we're trying to get the vision and move forward? Sorry, ladies, I think you're wonderful. Don't send me any hate mail, all right? And Lazarus came forth, bound with grave clothes. Now here's the thing. The miracle was bringing back from the dead. But he needed to be healed because whatever killed him would have still been in him. So Jesus used the miracle, brought him back from the dead. Healing was what he received. And then those three cases there. Smith Wigglesworth, one of the great men of God of faith, I think raised 13 people from the dead. But probably in most cases, they needed to be also delivered from a disease or a sickness that had killed them. And so operating healing and miracles. You remember what I said? Don't be confused. What hat do I need to put on to operate here? Just yield to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He'll show you. His gift will work in your life as you make yourself available for that. So healings can be by touch, the laying on of hands. They can be by a word. Jesus said sometimes, be healed. They can be by a shadow. Peter's shadow passing over people were healed. Can be by fabric. They said that the cloths taken from Paul were taken and placed on people and they were healed. So God can use many ways to heal. And once again, don't get bound up in that. The reason Jesus healed in so many different ways is because if he just healed one way, then that's how we'd have the church of the healing of Jesus way. But he did it in so many different ways. Why? Because he didn't want us to get bound up in the way. He wanted us to get bound up in the person who was the healer. And we respond to that and we do what we have to do. Sometimes healings are immediate, but sometimes they are not. So 10 lepers came to Jesus and he said, what do you want? And they said, we want to be healed. He said, okay, you're going to be healed. Go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, in those days, for people who had leprosy, A, the priest was the one who identified the leprosy, but B, if they were healed, they had to go to the priest to be confirmed in their healing, and they had to carry out a number of processes, sacrifices to God in that process. And so these lepers are walking away from Jesus, but they were not healed. The Bible says, as they went, they were healed. Now, what if Jesus said, yeah, I'm willing, I want you to be healed, and they'd said, well, I've still got the leprosy. I'm not healed. Oh, this guy's a fake. He's just after my money. I'm leaving. And off they'd go. And they would have missed out on their healing. But they did what Jesus said, and they were healed. What about the man who had the mud put in his eyes? I mean, can you imagine the workplace health and safety problems associated with that? Have you been tested for COVID? Do you have any other diseases, Jesus, that you might have passed on? Spat on the ground, made the mud, stuck it in the guy's eyes. I mean, you know, he's wandering around with a muddy face. And Jesus said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did. And he saw. You see, sometimes healings aren't immediate, but we live in a world of what we call microwave Christians. They want it. When do we want it? We want it now. But sometimes God maybe is testing. Maybe he's putting us through a little trial to see whether we really press in for what he has for us. And so my encouragement to you is never give up on a healing. If you get prayed for healing, hang in there. Thank God for it every day. Declare it over your life, because if you don't, God might have sent the healing and you've just let it go. You've let it pass you by instead of hanging on to it and believing for it. Sometimes tumours shrink. They may take time. They may be instant, or it may be over a process of time. Women conceive because, and there's a process involved in conception. So there may be healing, but it's not obvious at the time. It has to be outworked by the birth that comes forth from that. So we do understand in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for them who are called according to his purpose. And so we can have a trust in God that no matter what is happening, that God's involved. There's a scripture that says in, I think it's Nahum 1:6, I think, it says that the Lord is good. He is a stronghold to those who are in trouble. Gosh, I lay hold of that scripture often. Stronghold of those who are in trouble. He knows those who honour him. So I just encourage you this morning, as I'm coming towards conclusion, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are made for good works. Realise that it's about eternity. It's not about this life. We live this life, we serve God in this life, we follow the kingdom, we love Jesus, but it's more than this life. God is doing a work for eternity. And I believe that if we'll be honest with ourselves and we'll follow God, we will see great things. I mentioned the spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. And we need to learn which one are we going to live from. If I live from my body, it's the lusts of the flesh. Drugs, alcohol, sex, all sorts of perversions, things like that. If I just live for my body. If I live for my mind, then it's reasonings and intellect. In other words, if I just live for my soul, that's what can happen. We can get trapped in that, and that can build strongholds. Enemy can build strongholds. But if you live from your spirit in relation with the Holy Spirit, you're where God wants you to be. And so my life needs to be lived from my spirit to my soul and into my body. You understand? So if I'm listening to God here and walking the way that God wants, then I will function the way God wants in my body and in my soul. And that's what the Lord is looking for in us. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit don't come through the body. They come through the spirit. God speaks into our spirit, and that then works through us. We realise it goes into our mind. We realise what God's want to do, and we follow that. It's not by intellect or reasoning. So the gifts need to be operated by faith, and that comes from our spirit. You cannot operate faith out of your soul, out of your mind, and say, I've got faith. No, it comes out of the spirit. It's faith arises. What does Romans say? If you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth. Believe in your heart, that's the spiritual. Speaking with your mouth, that's the soul, because it's gone into the mind. You've got to use the mind to speak, and out it comes. That's what we've got to do. We know Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We've got to believe that. They're going to follow them that believe. That's you. You believe. And I've made the comment, there's someone waiting on the other side of your obedience for a miracle. Well, let me expand that this morning. There is someone waiting on the other side of your faith and obedience for a miracle to be delivered from disease or demon or torment or affliction. You could be God's answer and their only hope. That's a challenge. Makes you think, doesn't it? I don't care what age you are, whether you're young or old, doesn't matter. I want to say, don't fear stepping out. You might say, but what if they're not healed? But what if they are? What a great story. The healing evangelists will tell you the percentage of healings they saw in their meetings weren't great. And yet I've heard of events, I'm just trying to think of the name of the evangelist, the particular person at the moment. They took away truckloads of wheelchairs and crutches from his meetings, from people who were healed. So there've been great powers of healing flowing. I believe it's for today. We saw it back in the 1950s, 1960s, at a time after the Second World War when things just went crazy. And it brought people back to church. Then other things arose, flower power, free love, all that kind of thing, that took people out of church or modified their behaviour so they were no longer really just living the way God wanted them to live. I believe we're here in this day and this time and this hour, and I believe God wants to bring healing into the lives of people because He wants to confirm His love. He wants to confirm the fact that Jesus Christ died for them, and through that they can have eternal life and be with God the Father forever, and His compassion. And you and I are what God intends to use. God doesn't need us. He could send an angel. But He says, I want to use you. I want you to participate. I want you to partner with me in the kingdom going forth. And I want to speak to you. I want to speak to young people today. I don't care if you're only in your early teens. Press on in God. God can use you. If you're older in body but younger in mind, don't give up. Keep believing God. See the power of God manifest. God is good. I can't answer for God why some people aren't healed. I don't know. But I'm not going to stop praying. I will not give up. I will not deny people the opportunity. Even if only 1 in 100 was healed, thank God for that. God may it be. We're going to do something different this morning. I've spoken about the spirits. I've said that they are for all Christians. Don't be involved. Do be involved, but don't be confused. By which gift do I need? Which gift do I use? Trust the Holy Spirit. Just make yourself available. And God will use you. Understand is to bring the reality of God and give Him glory. It reveals His power and love for mankind, confirms the gospel message, so be available. This is what I want to do this morning. Because we've talked about healing, it's good to pray for people who need healing. And if you need healing, I'm going to invite you to come in a few minutes, but this is what we're going to do this morning because I want to activate this gift. I'm going to ask people who have it in their heart to believe to come and join the people who need prayer for healing and stand around about them in a circle or round about them. I don't want them to lay hands on them. I don't want them to pray loudly. I want it to be just quiet prayer. And I want it to be of this sort. Father, thank you for the gifts of healings. I stand here as a candidate to flow in that gift. And I'm praying for this dear person who's standing in front of me, that your healing touch will come upon them, that we might see the grace of God manifest and the life and the blessing of Christ come upon their lives to receive healing. We will be a church of faith, a church of trust. And so this morning, I ask I simply say, are there people who need healing? Would you come and stand here and understand we're going to pray with you today and believe God to see the manifest power of God touch your life? Come on down.